Hey, let's have a King of the Hill contest and see who comes out on top. Those are always a lot of fun. Of course, there is a lot of pushing and shoving. But hey, it's just a game. But then sometimes it's not, and wow, have things got a little ugly in our politics? Well, let's try to figure out how all this relates right here on the Corner of Truth and Life. Hello and welcome to the Corner of Truth and Life. This is Ira Hall, and in this episode today, we're talking about power and the desire to be able to control our destiny. And to do that, of course, if you're going to control something, you need to have the power. And I always liked that. I don't think they run them anymore. Of course, I don't have regular TV anymore. So if they do, I wouldn't see it anyway, I guess. But when I was younger, and probably even in teenager, I remember the old CMP commercials with the guy with the mustache, a line worker, he had a white hard hat on. He said, "There's another storm coming." And that's just stuck in my head now these days, especially as winter comes along. "There's another storm coming." And so I've had that in my head lately because there's another storm coming, but I'm not talking about snowstorms yet. It's still, luckily, things are still kind of green, and we're still picking things out of the garden and things like that. But politically, there's a storm coming. It's coming into election season again, and there's been a lot of debates on the Democratic side and a lot of fighting on the Republican side about not even having primaries, and then that just doesn't even touch all the local things. And if you're here in Maine, there's lots of local stuff going on and petitions being signed and stuff like that. And in my little town over here in the corner of Western Maine, there's the big fight over CMP and the corridor. And once again, it begins to really infect our politics, and like anything, it can get ugly quick. And it's like you start with a nice game of King of the Hill where you're all going to have a good time, and pretty soon tempers are flaring and it's not good-natured shoving anymore. It gets brutal. And that just, you know, on every scale, that seems to be how it goes. And I don't think that's new, but it is definitely part of what's going on in our world today, and a lot of anger and stuff being thrown around. So that's what we want to consider today. So it is normal, especially in this day and age, to have to take, you know, you gotta fight. And we gotta fight for our rights, and we've gotta fight the forces that are against us, and we have to fight the enemy. And it seems like almost like a no-brainer. Like, how could you argue against that? Because obviously these people are out for themselves, or out to get us, or out for something, and the only way to oppose it is to fight back, to fight fire with fire, etc., etc. I mean, what other option do we have? You know, it's distasteful, but we've just got to do it. I just watched a video of a select person's meeting for my town, and the town of Chesterville, if you're unfamiliar with it, some of you may be very familiar with it, maybe you are a resident as well, but if you're unfamiliar with it, if you're from a long ways away, it's a little town. It's fairly good sized geographically, but there's not a lot of us in it. It's a small town comparatively, and which is one of the things I love about living here, is I love being in a small town. but what really amazes me is the ferocity with which we fight in this small town. And so the select person's meetings can be just destination viewing at times for how fiery they can get over anything. And what sometimes are actually fairly small matters, but have been framed in such a way is that there are no small matters. There are only massive matters. And you get the impression that whatever happens here is probably going to change the course of the planet. One way or the other, it's either, you know, the downfall of Western society or the salvation of that. And if I'm mocking, here's the phrase, I mean no disrespect, because watching the video, that's what I saw about 100 times. I mean no disrespect, and yet both sides seemed to feel pretty disrespected. And depending on your point of view, you could say with good reason or without good reason. And I just step back and go, wow, man. And in the end, sometimes it's over issues that whatever happens, it's probably not going to change much. But this is, we get so invested in any given issue. And there are, to be fair, there are big issues, and small issues can lead to big issues. I'm not trying to minimize the issues. Although sometimes they deserve to be minimized a little. Because some issues, you know, some issues just come and go. And they're big issues. And that's been, you know, I've learned that over the years of my life, that there are issues that I get very haired up about. In the end, you know, it really didn't matter. It really didn't matter one way or the other. But in the moment, it seemed to. In the moment, it seemed important. And I, especially if I got very invested in it, invested my emotions in it. But none of that is my point. None of that is my point. My point is that as we get so invested in these issues, what oftentimes happens is we become less invested in the people because we're so invested in the issue. And that's why it was funny to watch a video where so often the phrase, I mean no disrespect, was used in conjunction with something that was going to be somewhat hurtful or could be. It's almost like pulling out a gun and saying, this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you, and then shooting someone. And it's like, well, your phrase and then your actions, it doesn't matter, even if you may mean the phrase. But why is it like that? Well, because we're all trying to struggle for dominance. We're all trying to struggle for power. And that is the way of the world. And that's what politics oftentimes becomes, is just a struggle for power. Well, this show is the corner of truth and life, so what we're trying to do is, now, so we've been talking about what happens in life, and nobody, none of you listening to this, finding any of this different, you're like, well, yeah, duh, you know, that's how it is, that's how it is. So the question is, for those of us who embrace following Jesus, following Christ, is that how we're supposed to be? It is how it is, but is that the truth? And that's where we run into some inconvenient truths, to use another phrase that can be controversial. Because Jesus says in Mark 10, and the whole chapter of Mark 10, or much of the chapter, is Jesus talking about power, leadership, and the kingdom. And he talks about it in a lot of different ways. If you start somewhere around verse 14 or 18, somewhere in there, he runs into a rich guy. Sometimes we've called him the rich young ruler, but he's a rich guy. And he's a good rich guy. And he approaches Jesus and he says, well, what do I need to do to, a lot of versions say, inherit eternal life? He's asking about what does it mean for him to live in God's kingdom is what he's asking about. And because of that, when you read Jesus' answers, Jesus keeps invoking the kingdom. Because that's how a Jewish guy would see it, of eternal life meant living in the kingdom, that the God's kingdom that he's establishing, the Messiah's kingdom. And Jesus, basically, to boil down the whole discussion, Jesus first says, have you been a good guy, and have you treated others well? And he said, yeah. Followed the Ten Commandments, at least the ones that have to do with other people. Jesus says, well, you're only missing one thing. Just go give away all your money. Sell all your possessions and give the proceeds to the poor, and then you can come follow me. And the guy's like, no. Nope, can't do that. And he's bothered by it, and Jesus is saddened as well, and he says, yeah, it's hard for rich people. Why? Because, well, they've accumulated these resources, and what are resources? Resources give you power, the ability to control your destiny, to control your life, to make yourself comfortable. And Jesus then teaches for a while, and the disciples are like, oh, that's weird. They're really blown away. And then Jesus says, well, listen, I got to go up and I got to die. And they're like, well, that's weird. Why is he talking about being mocked and killed? And then two of his followers say, hey, well, can we, when you come into this kingdom that we're expecting, of course, they're expecting him to be a conqueror, can we sit at your right and left hands? And he said, listen, are you trying to be a leader? Listen, the Gentiles, they like to lord it over. They like to exercise their power. It's not supposed to be that way with you. You're supposed to be a servant. And so often, when we're faced with control, we want to take power. We want to protect our resources. And we want to enforce our will. Being a servant is way, way down on the list. Now, we want others to be servants. Yeah, you serve me. But we're not good at being servants. And we're not good at giving up anything. Because, well, that's not the point. The point is, this is how it's supposed to be. I know how it's supposed to be. And I need to use power to get the right way. But that's not what Jesus did. And then when you step back from there and you start thinking about it, you're like, okay, well, how much power did Jesus have? Well, who was he? Well, he was God. He was the God of the universe. He was the God who created everything. So when Jesus shows up on the planet and starts teaching, this is not some good teacher with some suggestions. This is the boss. This is the guy. And then when he's not listened to, and they get ready to arrest him, and they're going to kill him and end his time of teaching, well, how much power does he have to resist that? Well, Jesus even tells us when they arrest him, and Peter pulls out his sword and tries to stop it, and Jesus said, listen, I could stop this if I wanted to. I could have a legion of angels here just like this. I don't even have to dial 911. I can just have angels here. Boom. And all those Roman soldiers would have been running like just scared little girls or scared little boys. Wetting their togas. But Jesus says, that's not how this works. And Jesus came and he exercised power by serving and giving up. And that's tough for us. So as you consider, what does it mean for you to have power? And what does it mean for you to exercise leadership? And how much do you look at, how can I serve others and give up? And how much do you feel like you have to run over others and dominate? Because one is the world's way and one is God's way. And God's way is opposite and it seems messed up. I mean, the disciples, when Jesus was teaching it says they were amazed. It is amazing, and it's different, and it's hard, but something to dwell on as the storm comes.
Thank you for listening to the Corner of Truth and Life. This has been a broadcast of the Beans Corner Baptist Church, located at the corner of 133 and 156 in North Jay. We would welcome you to join us each Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for a service of music and challenge. If you would like to get more information on the church, listen to this show, past shows, or other messages, please visit us on the web at beanscorner.org or find us on Facebook. Thank you for listening, and we remind you to seek truth. This is Pastor Ira Hall. Have a great day.